Heyo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music on the air and in your ear. We are your metal nerds. I am the Crown Prince of Charisma. This is the King of the Casters, Chief Defender of the Faith, Mr. Brett Podcast over here. And we have on... We have on somebody we're really excited to talk to because we've been admirers of his work for an awful long time. He's the lead singer of Crush 40 and Hardline. Many albums with Axel Rudy Pale. And he also has a new album out called Set the World on Fire. It's Johnny Gioeli and...
Gioeli.
Gioeli. See, I already screwed it up. Johnny Gioeli.
Oh, hey, man. Yeah, no, actually, you did a great pronunciation. So half my family says Gioeli, and the other half says Gioeli. So there's, you can't go wrong. And no matter how you say it, it still sounds like a freaking pasta dish.
You know. I'd eat it.
I can't get away from it.
All right. Well, Johnny, you know, the first thing that I actually want to say, even before we break into the album, is that, and this is full stop, you are my favorite singer. So I am extremely happy to have you on the show.
Brother, thank you. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. I try real hard, bro. I really do. I never stop trying, so thank you for saying
no.
that.
Oh, no. I mean, it's. Well, I mean, whatever it is that you do, totally keep doing it because it completely works works in this case.
Thank you, man. I do a lot of fishing and raising chickens.
Oh,
and
good.
Somehow it just makes me sing. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You're going to get a lot of jokes from me today.
That's good.
That's,
I like that.
That's what we like. All right. Well, So let's talk Set the World on Fire.
Sure, man.
Yeah, you and I think, honest to God, I think that this is kind of a modern day melodic rock masterpiece that you and Dean have constructed here. Dean Castronovo, I'm going to screw that one up too.
Yeah.
And I guess Alessandro DeVecchio was produced it, and he had a large part in creating the album as well, right?
That's true. Yeah. So I'll give you a little backstory for the listeners to understand how it all happened. I was actually doing an interview. Similar to this one, but the journalist said some off-color stuff about my brother Dean. He's not my brother by blood, but
your brother from another mother, kind of. Yeah.
Yes, sort of in brotherhood. Yes. So I didn't take too well to that, man. And, you know, I'm getting older and getting grouchy. So I don't take well to bad interviews. So I said, okay, interview's over, because I'm not quite sure what you're asking. Well, you know, I just, you know, Dean's had a lot of trouble. I said, yeah, so we all have. We've all have peaks and valleys in our lives. We all have trials, tribulations. We all go through stuff. We all have skeletons in our closet. We all have things that we've done that we're not proud of. But as long as you can come out in the end clean and good, and you've maintained who you really are inside, that's all I care about, you know? So Dean heard that and immediately contacted me and said, bro, thank you for supporting me. I said, Dean, you know, I haven't talked to you in 19 years, but I never stopped loving you, bro. You're always my brother. We've been through so much stuff together, hence the song Through. Plug. So, I mean, why would I ever think anything different? I know who you are, and you've corrected your life. I've had to make some corrections in mine, and here we are. So he goes, bro, I love you. A week later, he calls me. So people think that this set the world on fire. This was a strategy. We got together. We thought about this. No, this was Dean calling me saying, hey, bro, you want to do a record? And me going, yeah, man, let's do it. That was it. So people are like, oh, shit, I thought you guys planned. And so, no, it was two guys that have not seen each other in a very long time saying, let's come together, bro. Let's do a record together. Let's just sing. Because back in the Hardline days, I was the singer. He was the drummer. Neil was the guitar player. My brother was the other guitar player. Todd was the bass player. That, you know, you didn't kind of sort of cross into other people's territories. You know what I mean? So people didn't really know how well Dean could sing until the Journey days. And then they hear him singing like a freaking bird on crack. and just blowing people's minds. So we just thought, man, let's reunite. It's the perfect way to do so. Just have some fun making this record and put it out there and we really don't – look, honestly, when you're an artist, when you're a musician, when you're creating, you can't – those who look beyond the creation are not real artists. If you're worried about if it's going to chart on Billboard, if you're going to sell records, your royalty checks, I don't give a shit about any of that. I want to make music and be grateful for having the opportunity to do so, and in hopes that it translates to the rest of the world. And in this case, in this record, Set the World on Fire, it's doing just that. I'm freaking blown away, so I'm happy about it.
Yeah, you know, it's actually, I think, what, about 4 days ago that Dean passed being 3 years sober. You know, and which is awesome. And so working with him and seeing him, you know, can you tell the difference in how the place he is in his life and in the music? And what does it mean to you to have a friend that you're doing this with and seeing him in a good place?
Well, I got to tell you, man, honestly, I didn't witness him in a bad place. So I've never known Dean in that bad sort of place that he was in. So I can't relate to working with him during that. So I don't know how difficult that was or not. But I can tell you that I've always known Dean's heart, number one. I said that before. And I've always known how incredible of a musician this guy is. So, and, you know, together we're of the same ilk and work ethic. So I knew that this was going to be fun and rewarding. And I also, it was so amazing, you guys, is that it was like we picked up after the last day of Hardline. When I saw Dean, I saw him for the first time in 19 years. We met in Italy to record this record. We didn't just, you know, we did some file passing back and forth because I wanted to sing in my studio, but then we also worked together like old school, and we love that. And when I saw Dean, you know, I grabbed him, I picked him up off his feet and hugged him and kissed him and said, "Are you hungry, bro? Let's go get a cannoli." You know, we wanted some dessert. and that's – it was just like a continuation. Like, we just picked up right after Hardline. So – and that's when you know, when you care about somebody and musically it works, it's just easy. If something is hard in music, it's wrong. It's just wrong. So this was easy.
You know, I've had that too, where it's people you don't see for a long time and you talk to them and you're like – you know, holy shit, it's like putting on a pair of jeans that still fit. You know, they're just comfortable. So I get
exactly
that.
Exactly right, man. Exactly right. And, you know, we both know each other's capabilities. And picking songs and picking who's going to sing what, that was so easy. People think, oh, my God. I've been asked the question, how difficult was it to pick the songs and the lines? It was a phone conversation of about 8 minutes. It's like, "Hey, Dean, would you mind if I take the song Mother?" "Yeah, bro, go ahead." "How about I do this one?" "Cool. You want to take that line?" "Sure." "You want to do that?" "Okay, I'll do it." "You want to?" And it was over. We're like, "Okay, cool. Let's sing." And, you know, we laugh too because, you know, it's in this modern technology with plugins and apps and this and that and the other. Dean and I are old school. We don't know shit about that stuff. We sing a line. I'm serious. We sing a line and we're like, we listen to it. If it doesn't sound right, guess what we do? We sing the freaking line again. Okay? Hello, musicians. Just do it again. Stop with this freaking computer shit.
Oh, the anyway. Auto-tune's killing me.
Yeah, auto-tune's killing me, too. But anyway, it was just a painless experience and a wonderful reunion, man. So happy about it.
Well, it's great because your voice and Dean's voice, they fit so well together. And I think it was crazy because I guess going into it, I did have that expectation that you would be handling the singing. But then, because I kind of forgot that Dean was such a good singer because I have heard him with Journey. But then once I got in and I'm like, "Oh, that's definitely not Johnny." "Oh yeah, that's Dean." Right. And then you listen to it and it fits so seamlessly well together.
Yeah, you know, we joke, of course. We're constantly breaking each other's balls. But, you know, I said, "Dean, now you're going to take most of the feminine parts. Now I'm going to take the manly parts." And we laugh like hell. And he goes, what is this, Hall & Oates?" And we just, I mean, we had a great time doing it. He goes, I know, I sound a lot like Perry. I can't help it." It was like 15, 16 years with Jerry. "I can't help it." I said, "Dean, you got a beautiful voice. we're going to give you those girly parts. We take the man parts, and it's going to work. But no, I'm joking about that. But I do break his balls about that. He goes, I know, man. He goes, I don't know. And I just, it's just the way I sound. But he's a super talented singer. And somehow it just blends. It works. You know what I mean? And so I wasn't sure that it was going to work. And I honestly didn't think about it other than let's just freaking sing. Let's just do this. So I'm pleased with the outcome.
For sure. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, we've had some great experiences with Alessandro Del Vecchio's work and the things that he's produced and the songs that he's written and stuff like that. So I mean, just knowing that you work with him and that he's been with Hardline and stuff like that. I mean, he's such an amazingly talented guy that I mean, and the songs just come out so well.
Yeah, he's another talented little son of a bitch, I'll tell you. I was introduced to him by the record company Frontiers, and they said, we want you to work with this guy, Alessandro. I'm like, he was like freaking, I don't know, 6 years old when my first record came out. I'm like, oh, who the hell is this kid? And we hit it off. I mean, I talked to him every single day. Talk about a brotherhood. I talked to him every day, and he's in Italy, every day. And he's a talented writer, talented singer. And, for me, where I'm at in my tender, ripe age of 50, I am a 50-year-old man with an 18-year-old penis. I'm just kidding. Everything's 50 right now. Believe me, I'm so freaking tired.
Hey, look, I had a 50-year-old penis at 18. So
did you?
Oh, unfortunately.
God, I'm sorry, bro. That's horrible. They make a pill for that. But with Alessandro, he's a singer too. So he can relate, and he was a huge Hardline fan too. After he grew up a little bit, he knows me. He knows my sound. He knows what I love. He's just the greatest thing. To come into my life, besides my new bicycle. Awesome. He's got a great bike, man. He's just such an awesome musician and person. Great person.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about the first Hardline album, Double Eclipse, and honestly, that is one of those albums that when I'm picking Desert Island albums, that one would be on there.
Oh, bro, that's awesome.
Because I just, and I don't know, when I mentioned to Mo that we were going to have the chance to interview you, it was just like, hot cherie? <It's> like,
that's right. You know what's wild, man? Now when I'm playing shows, I just met this lady. I was doing a show, where was I? I was in England. I was in Cardiff. I was in Wales. And a lady came up to me with her daughter and said, I saw your show at some big arena in Cardiff in 93, and I was pregnant with her. And now this girl is like gorgeous 25, 26, 27-year-old girl. I'm like, and now she is a massive Hardline fan. I'm like, wow. And it really struck me. I went, gosh, I I'm proud, man. I'm grateful. I'm proud that music has really survived the test of time and is kind of viewed as a classic thing. So I'll tell you a funny story. One day my daughter, who's now 22 years old, my daughter was upstairs in our home and she yelled down, this was years ago, she goes, Dad, you're on VH1. And then there was a pause and then she said, classics. In your room, you little son of a classic. I classic your ass. Get up in your room. But anyway, it sort of is, man. And that was my lifeblood. That was my newborn before my children. I worked so hard to make that record, you guys. Every day, it's all I thought about. It's all I dreamed about. It's all I worked endlessly. I wasn't the rock and roll guy running around partying, doing this and that and the other. I was in the studio working, writing constantly. Can you top this? And just, you have no idea the lifeblood that I put into that album. So to have it stand the test of time and people still today to enjoy it and want to take it to that desert island, I'm really happy and proud of that. And I thank you guys for that, for saying that.
Now, was that girl, that the 25-year-old you met, was her name Cherie?
Actually, I have come across plenty of Cheries, and they all think that song's about them. And I tell them it is. I lie like hell. Yes, I wrote that for you. And it's pure bullshit, but no, her name wasn't Cherie, as a matter of fact.
Next time, just lie and say it was. Next time you tell that story to somebody. That's
okay,
what I
say. Should. Yeah, I should fabricate that just a little bit, but I don't have the heart to do so.
it's still a fantastic story. And honestly, I'm just so happy that that Axel Rudy Pell found you so that he could kind of keep you going and enable you to really keep singing, because your stuff with him is fantastic as well.
Thanks, bro. I can't believe, believe it or not, you can't tell by me talking, but I'm a shy guy. I'm actually a very shy guy, and I don't like photos, and I all this social media stuff. I mean, I participate, of course, because I love the fans, I love the people, but I just, the pictures and the videos and, oh, God, and, my assistant's like, can you please do a video and tell the people you love them? I do, I love everyone, but I hate doing these freaking videos and stuff, but, I don't know what the hell my point was. I was going somewhere with this full circle. See what happens when you hit 50? You should start forgetting stuff. But anyway, all these, people, I know where I was going. People, view my career as like, oh my God, Johnny does so many different things. Axel Rudy Pell, Crush 40. He has a solo album coming out. My solo album is coming out in December. I'm so proud of it. I hope you guys love it. If you love Double Eclipse, you're going to love this album and then some. But to me, I don't look at these things as like different projects. I look at it as making music, man. And if your grandma or grandpa came to me and said, look, I want to write a song, if I had the time, I'd do it, because it's an opportunity to create and make music. So my calendar is so packed. I'm busier than a crack dealer in Compton, California on a Saturday night at 2 a.m. I'm brutally busy, and I couldn't be happier.
I'm never visiting Compton at 2 a.m.
Yeah, don't go to Compton. Yeah. No. Compton's actually not a bad place.
Sure. But maybe I am visiting there at 2 a.m. I'm sorry, because we got on with you a little bit late. Can we steal a couple more minutes?
Yeah, we can go. Singers are always late, so I'm already excused.
Okay. All right, cool. Because I want to talk a little bit about that upcoming album, because it's on Pledge Music. You've already, gotten the support for the album, but it doesn't mean people can't continue to pledge and support it, and more good rewards will come out. But I'm really intrigued by the fact that there's a charity involved. Is it Joe Barnes?
Joe Barber.
So, that's it. Yeah.
I'll tell you a little bit about it, you guys. So the pledge has nothing to do with the creation of the album, because it's a Frontiers release. The pledge is my donation to Joe Barber. So Joe Barber, look, there are so many charities. We could probably be on the line here and name 600 charities in the next 2 minutes. But this was a young man 2 years ago that had just a catastrophic accident in the Long Island Sound here, because I live in, next to New York. I live in Connecticut. And he dove in, he hit a rock, and immediately, in 3 seconds, his life has changed. He's paralyzed from the neck down. And yes, paralysis, spinal cord injuries, they're everywhere. They're every day. They're every minute. But this happened in my neighborhood, man. This happened, and it hit. It hit home. I said, what can I do? And I've always been a band guy, a team guy. I said, I've got to do something short of – everyone can cut a check, and that's grateful. It's great that everyone can donate money, because in the lifetime of someone with paralysis, it costs over $8 million just to sustain life.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's a lot of freaking money,
me.
Man. Yeah. People don't realize the equipment, the cost. So for us, we jump out of bed, we go, we take a piss, we think nothing of it. We move our toes, we grab an egg, we crack an egg. Joe can't do that. His life has changed. And that just it just hit me like a uppercut from Mike Tyson. And I said, I got to do something. What can I do? So what I did was I involved the many thousands, tens of thousands of incredible fans that have supported me and my music and told them about this kid. And through the love in their heart and their love for my music and I guess the love for me, which is just so awesome, donated their hard-earned money to help a kid they don't even know. So the album's called One Voice because together we are. And we've got – I have donations from Iraq, from Afghanistan, Belgium, Germany, Italy, Eastern Europe, Bulgaria, Syria, you name it. And the tens of thousands of fans, I mean, we're 220, 230% of the original goal, and, you know, for Joe. So it was my way, because as, you know, as you get older in your life and you grow up a little bit like I have, well, a little bit I grew up, but you tend to reflect on your life and you must recognize how grateful you are. And I am that guy, man. And I said, I got to help. I've got to start. I've got to give back. I got to help. And so I created that album for Joe. And guys, it is probably the happiest record I've made. And I've made, and I love all my records, don't get me wrong, but since Double Eclipse 92. It's a blend. It's like a Bryan Adams meets Foo Fighters, uplifting, just. You want to crank the living shit out of it in your car. First song on the album is called Drive. And it's about just get in your car and do that. Let the wind freaking just take you. Crank up the music. Stop looking at the freaking inbox. Leave that shit for another day. That's actually the lyric. Come on and drive. Take me away. Leave all that shit for another day. It's just a great feeling record. And to be able to help someone, I mean, I'm just so happy about it.
You know,
we've got great traction with some of the biggest morning television shows, you know, Good Morning America, the Today Show. People are getting very interested in how this whole thing came to be. It's a great story. So everyone came together, everyone united. Those that watch the news and think that the rest of the world is a terrible place, they're wrong. There's people just like you and me. There's children just like my children that want to be happy. They want to be healthy. They want to laugh. They want to listen to music. They want to love. They want to have their families. They want to have a barbecue. They want to do all these things. And I got all those people involved in this. And, man, I feel good about it. I feel really good about it.
Well, you know, I was thinking about one of the reasons why I like this album so much, your latest album here, is because it's a really mature album. Like, and you can see that, the difference in the evolution, you know? And,
yes.
And, but now I can't even wait for One Voice. Like, I mean, December, you say, we need a time loop because you made me feel good about myself just, and about this planet and people just listening to that story. That's an awesome, awesome thing.
Thank you, bro. I'll tell you guys a real quick story, you know, it just brings everybody into real life. I got an email fan message from a young boy and girl from Afghanistan. And just before, it's just amazing how things happen. Just before this letter came to me, my son said to me, he's young and he's learning and growing and, you know, and listening to news and, you know, just doesn't have a real great perspective on life yet. He's growing. He's a young kid. He goes, Dad, why don't we just drop a bomb and just wipe them all out? And I said, what? I said, Brandon, come over here. I want you to read this. And the letter said, you know, dear Johnny, we are massive fans. We live in Afghanistan where it's not the easiest place to live right now, but your music gives us positive feeling. It lifts us. It makes us feel great. We are your biggest fans in Afghanistan. And I said to my son, you want to drop a bomb on them? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I said, it's okay, Brandon. You've got to understand that there's beautiful people everywhere, people just like you. So anyway, I'm excited for this record. I'm excited for Set the World on Fire. That's July 13th. My solo record is in December of this year. We've got touring. I'm in a great place with my career, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, we are so honored that you've graced us with your time in this case, and honestly, I'm just ecstatic that your career is taking off because I wish nothing but the best for you and your future.
Oh, likewise, you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I say this to nauseam, but without you guys and the fans, I'm just a voice, man. I'm nothing. I need everyone's air to be able to sing. So otherwise, you're just a voice, you know. So I do what I do. You guys do. I need you guys. So it works, man. So here's to rock and roll.
That's right. Rock and roll. And thank you so much. We could talk to you, I'm sure, for about 40 hours and not hit everything.
We'd love to
get into the strip and everything someday with you and all that stuff.
Yeah, we'd love to get a chance to talk to you some more if that would be feasible.
Yeah, but
absolutely. Let's do it again. We'll get back together again on the next project that's coming up.
All right, that'd be great.
All right, Johnny Gioeli, all the best.
See, he did it right.
Thank you, guys. You did it, man. Freaking kicked some freaking ass. That was awesome. All right, everybody in We Talk Music listening, thank you guys for everything, and we'll talk soon. So be well, everyone.
All right. Thanks, Johnny. Have a good day.
Take care, you guys. You too, brother. Bye-bye.
Right, bye.